Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Second Chronicles chapter 32 is a fabulous passage of Scripture when you concern yourself with Israel and its ability to defend itself against a superior army. Second Chronicles chapter 32, verse 1, "After these things and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities, and thought to win them for himself. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come, and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men, and then they did something." We're going to continue reading. But let's first make some introductory comments. As war in the Middle East becomes more inevitable, just remember that the Lord fights Israel's battles. In this passage, in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, Judah is attacked by Sennacherib. And so he makes preparations to defend himself against Sennacherib's siege of Jerusalem and Sennacherib's threat to defeat Hezekiah. From this passage, you know what we learn? We learn not only how the war was fought then, but we see how the war is going to go in the Middle East as Muslim nations eventually cooperate with the Antichrist and other Gentile nations in an effort to destroy Israel once and for all. And I'm here to tell you, these nations will not succeed in their campaign any more than Sennacherib succeeded in his campaign against Hezekiah. You say, what's going to happen? Well, first of all, the armies are going to enter Judah. Verse 1 and 2 again say, "After these things and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem," all right, then he's going to do something about it. So you just understand something, you know, when people talk about peace in the Middle East, that isn't going to happen next. I don't care what platform of what king or prime minister or president makes his speech and says, "I believe that we can do such and such to establish peace in the Middle East." They're not going to do it. They can't. Just as Sennacherib entered into Judah and had his eye on Jerusalem, the Antichrist with his armies will enter into Judah and he will have his eye on Jerusalem. They're going to fight against Jerusalem. And you can be absolutely certain that they're going to fight against Jerusalem because God is going to gather them there. And I mean it. We're going to look at a couple of passages here, but before the war is over, it's going to look like Israel will lose for sure. You know, it looked like Israel was going to lose this battle. When you get into it a little bit further, you're going to see why. Turn with me to Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah chapter 14. We've been here often, but repetition is a good teacher, and we always need to remember some verse that we can remember and show to somebody if they ask us about these very things we're talking today. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 1 and 2, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee." Now watch it, verse 2. "For I," this is the Lord speaking, I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. You see that? That's a prophecy. That hasn't happened yet. That's going to happen. And it's going to happen when armies enter into Jerusalem, or just the same way that Sennacherib intended to do during the reign of Hezekiah. Zephaniah chapter 3. You were in Zechariah. Then you go back two books to the left, and you're going to find Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 8. Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey, for my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms. Now, he does it for a reason, and that's to pour out upon them his indignation and all of his fierce anger. But notice, it is the Lord's determination to gather the nations and assemble the kingdoms, and he gathers them against Jerusalem. It's going to happen again. The armies will enter Judah, and they will besiege Jerusalem, and they will enter the city. Now, Israel will wisely defend itself. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and read with me from verse 3 to verse 6. Hezekiah took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains which were without the city, and they did help him. So there was gathered much people together who stopped all the fountains and the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, Why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water? Also he strengthened himself and built up all the wall that was broken and raised it up to the towers and another wall without and repaired Millo in the city of David and made darts and shields in abundance, and he set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city and spake comfortably to them, saying, and we'll see what he says in a minute. Now those are wise preparations. Hezekiah wisely diverted the water of the brook. You say, why did he do that? Well, when a large army like Sennacherib's army comes in, they've got to have provision. They've got to have provision for the soldiers. They've got to have provision for the horses and for the other animals that are part of the supply train. And so it would be very convenient for Sennacherib to lodge without the city of Jerusalem, where there's a brook of water, in order to, you know, resupply his men and resupply his animals. So Hezekiah diverted that water so that when the king was there, he would not have a convenient place to resupply his need for water. Secondly, he fortified the city. He built up the wall that was broken down and built another wall out in front of that. Two lines of defense. And then he prepared his military. He set captains over the people and gathered them together in the street. And he made darts and shields in abundance. So he's getting ready for the battle. That's why all those defenses are wise. And based upon what he took counsel to do and did, Israel was, you know, as prepared as they could be to fight. And in the same way, when the armies of the Muslim nations and other Gentile nations gather themselves together to try to destroy Israel, Israel will be properly prepared to fight off the attack of the invading armies. Israel's reputation in war since becoming a nation has been that of a country that can defend itself well. But I'm going to tell you something. These efforts will not be enough. They will not be able to defend themselves by themselves and by their military preparations against what's getting ready to happen to them. Israel will have to turn to the Lord. Israel will have to turn to the Lord. Hezekiah did. Look in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verses 7 and 8. Hezekiah says to his army, to his captains of war, Be strong and courageous, be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. They turned to the Lord. Now, Israel in the Old Testament didn't always turn to the Lord. There were times when they, you know, had their false gods and other things that they kept getting involved in, tried to fight these battles, and they would really, they would be defeated easily. And there were other times like this where the king led them to trust the Lord, and they did. And the Lord delivered him. Now I'm going to tell you something. Israel has been blinded against the Lord God ever since Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 through 12. Isaiah is alive and prophesying during the reign of Hezekiah. You're going to see Hezekiah and Isaiah pray together before we finish this study that the Lord would deliver them from this attack. But notice in Isaiah chapter 6 that during the reign of King Uzziah, he died. Isaiah says, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. Okay? Now, the Lord spoke to him and said, whom shall I send? In verse 8, who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. All right, so the Lord did. Verse 9, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9, he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without a man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be great forsaking in the midst of the land. Well, let me tell you something. They turned their back. I mean, God blinded them right here. And you can see after these rains, you'd get a good king like Josiah, but the country itself was shot because of all that false god worship they had been involved in for all that time, and particularly for, you know, the wickedness of the king Manasseh, who is Hezekiah's grandson. So they've been blinded against the Lord God ever since Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 through 12, and they've been blinded against the Lord Jesus Christ ever since Matthew chapter 12. And I won't go through and read all of Matthew chapter 12 to you, but in there the Lord, you know, performs a miracle, and they asked for a sign. He said there'd be no sign given to this wicked and adulterous generation but the sign of Jonah the prophet, all that stuff. And then Matthew chapter 13, he gives them parables of the kingdom of heaven, and they don't understand them. And the disciples asked, why not? He said, and the Lord quotes this passage in Isaiah chapter 6. He said, that's why, because their heart is waxed gross. Their eyes they've shut, their ears they've closed. They can't understand with their heart. They can't perceive. They can't see. And so there's a blindness there. And so, and it's there even now. But before the victory of the Antichrist and his armies, Israel is going to turn to the Lord. This will happen in the tribulation. And their blindness, at least by the time the Lord returns, will be removed. And the Lord will deliver them. When they rest in him, when they trust in him, he saves them. Look with me at Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. Romans chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. So Israel is going to have to turn to the Lord, and they will. And when they do, this blindness comes off. That's when the tide changes on what is going to look like a sure defeat of Israel and a sure defeat of Jerusalem. Now be sure of this. During this time, with this small army of Jews trying to defend itself against these Muslim nations and these Gentile nations, there will be international propaganda used against Israel. 2 Chronicles chapter 32, keep reading. Let's read to verse 9 now, down to verse 19. After this did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, send his servants to Jerusalem, but he himself laid siege against Lachish and all his power with him, and unto Hezekiah king of Judah, and unto all Judah that were at Jerusalem, saying. Now this is a very common tactic. The armies are fighting in another place. They are sacking the city, and some refugees are running from there, saying, oh, it's horrible, it's horrible, it's horrible. And then the king sends out a little advance party to basically says, you guys might as well give up. You don't stand a chance. And that's what's going to happen here. Verse 10, thus saith Sennacherib, king of Assyria. This little ambassage comes, and this is what they're saying. Thus saith Sennacherib, king of Assyria, whereon do you trust that you abide in the siege in Jerusalem? Doth not Hezekiah persuade you to give over yourselves to die by famine and by thirst? That's what happens if the siege lasts long enough. They run out of supplies and everybody dies. Saying, the Lord our God shall deliver us out of the hand of the king of Assyria. Hath not the same Hezekiah taken away his high places and his altars and commanded Judah and Jerusalem, saying, you shall worship before one altar and burn incense upon it? Know ye not what I and my fathers have done unto all the people of the lands? Were the gods of the nations of those lands any ways able to deliver their lands out of mine hand? Who was there among all the gods of those nations that my fathers utterly destroyed that could deliver his people out of mine hand, that your God should be able to deliver you out of mine hand? Now therefore let not Hezekiah deceive you, nor persuade you on this manner. Neither yet believe him, for no god of any nation or kingdom was able to deliver his people out of mine hand and out of the hand of my fathers. How much less shall your God deliver you out of mine hand? And his servant spake yet more against the Lord God and against his servant Hezekiah. He wrote also letters to rail on the Lord God of Israel and to speak against him, saying, as the gods of the nations of other lands have not delivered their people out of mine hand, so shall not the God of Hezekiah deliver his people out of mine hand. Then they cried with a loud voice in the Jews' speech unto the people of Jerusalem that were on the wall, to affright them and to trouble them, that they might take the city. And they spake against the God of Jerusalem as against the gods of the people of the earth, which were the work of men, of the hands of men. Now you see what's going on here. This is propaganda. And they are railing on the God of Israel. They're railing on the God of Hezekiah. And they are scaring the people. Now, the purpose of propaganda is primarily to discourage Israel. And the purpose of the propaganda during this coming war is going to be to discourage the Jews from defending themselves and from trusting the Lord to deliver them. The propaganda is going to try to affright them and to trouble them, see? That's what it's all about, to scare them, to weaken them against trying to defend themselves. May I tell you something? This is the method that is being used today, right now, to discourage you. There are Christians today that are running for the hills, hunkering down. I say that, running for the hills. I say that, you know, as an illustration, to hunkering down, trying to get ready for what's getting ready to happen, as if, you know, as if they're scared to death. But I'm going to tell you something. As we see in this passage, it will happen again. The Lord will come and defeat Israel's enemies. Look in 2 Chronicles 32, 20 to 22. And for this cause Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amos prayed and cried unto heaven. And the Lord sent an angel which cut off all the mighty men of valor and the leaders and captains in the camp of the king of Assyria. That was 185,000 elite soldiers, leaders, that were killed that night. So he, that is Sennacherib, returned with shame of face to his own land, and when he was come into the house of his God, they that came forth of his own bowels slew him there with the sword. He was assassinated. Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all others, and guided them on every side. So at just the time when Sennacherib was sure that he could defeat Israel, after railing on the Lord God of Israel, he was defeated by the Lord. One angel came and destroyed 185,000 elite soldiers, captains, mighty men of valor, the leaders. That's what he destroyed. You know what? The same thing is going to happen to the Antichrist armies. That's right. When the Antichrist armies come in to destroy Jerusalem, here's what's going to happen. Daniel chapter 7, verses 25 to 27. He, that is this king, this leader of the army, this king, you see. He shall speak great words against the Most High, just like Sennacherib did to Hezekiah. He shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. That's 3.5 years. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. That's Jews, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. The armies will enter Judah, just like they did on Hezekiah's day. Israel will wisely defend itself, just like you know they are prone to do even now. But they're going to have to turn to the Lord, and they will, just like Hezekiah did. There'll be a lot of international propaganda used against Israel to discourage them in turning to the Lord. And yet the Lord will come and defeat Israel's enemies. It's going to happen. See, history repeats itself. So what you're reading in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, although it's not prophetic of itself because it's historical, is prophetic because it shows you, hey, this is how it happened before. This is how it's going to happen again. You say, well, that's all very interesting. I appreciate the opportunity to see the application of 2 Chronicles chapter 32 to something that's going to happen in the future. Can get all that. That's interesting. But what can I take out of it? You know, that's a good question, because that's our nature as people. We always want to know, what can I get? How can I apply what we've learned to me? Well, just remember, when you are facing what appears to be a superior foe, the odds are stacked against you. Listen, watch it. Do not trust the arm of flesh. Do not trust the arm of flesh. That's what Sennacherib did. And Hezekiah said, with him is an arm of flesh. Don't trust that. Don't trust your provision. Don't trust your hiding place. Don't trust all that stuff. You know what you do? Trust the Lord our God to help you and to fight your battles. But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 8. That's what you need. These days, you know what? These days we put way too much confidence in the arm of flesh. That's right. Now, I don't say to you to be unwise. As I said, Israel will wisely defend itself. But may I tell you, the fortifications, the darts, the shields, and the captains did not save Israel from Sennacherib. The Lord did. The angel of the Lord came in there, and he is the one that defeated the enemy. So remember that. Don't put so much confidence in all that stuff. All right, the next thing to remember is that an international propaganda war is being waged against God right now, like Sennacherib waged against the Lord God in the days of Hezekiah. That's right. There is so much anti-Christian stuff going on, it makes you think that somehow or another we are just defeated, and somehow or another our God is just going to fold up his tent and go to another planet. Seriously. I mean, you see Supreme Court rulings that go against the Bible and therefore against your convictions. You see the world going truly more and more into chaos, and you see the courts being used to strengthen the arm of flesh against you. You get the idea, man, we are defeated. We don't stand a chance. But I'm going to tell you something. God isn't going to lose. That's right. And so don't let the international propaganda war being waged against God Almighty make you think somehow or another that God can't handle the current situation. Do not for a minute believe that bunk, and don't be affrighted and troubled. We didn't get here by evolution. The science of natural processes does not explain the origin of man. Climate change by the human footprint is a political tool being used to take more and more control of the nations. Brother, I'm going to show you something getting hot when the tribulation comes, because that sun is going to get a lot hotter than it is right now. Men are going to be scorched, and it's not going to be the result of a carbon footprint. It's not going to be the result of carbon dioxide. It's going to be the result of the wrath of God Almighty. You're not going to sit here and wage this kind of war against our God day in and day out and day in and day out without God sometime waking up and saying, I've had enough. And when he has enough, you're going to find out what climate change is all about. You're going to see heat here like you've never seen in your life. Read the book of Revelation. Don't you believe that bunk and be frightened and troubled by all this propaganda? There are more with us than with them. Our Lord will win. Our Lord will reign. Even if it looks like there's no hope, there's always hope in the Lord. Don't let the Lord's enemies talk you out of trusting and resting in the Lord Jesus Christ. He wins. He wins. He's coming back. You say, I've kind of lost hope in that. Well, look up, my friend. You know why? Because he's coming. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. He has not forgotten. You say, well, I know, but it's sure looking like they're stacking up against us. They are, and they're going to stack up against us more than they have. But if the angel of the Lord can go in and hand select the captains, the leaders, and the mighty men of valor and cut off 185,000 of them by himself, one angel, don't you know the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the ruler of all those angels, can stand his ground against anybody? And when you trust him, that he can handle the situation just fine? Listen, there are people that all the time worry about how it's going to go for Christians. I'm not worried. I'm not going to worry. You say, why? Because I see what happened with Hezekiah. And really, Israel was not in good shape at this time. Okay? But I saw how it went with Hezekiah. He turned to the Lord, and the Lord turned to him. And God fought this battle and won. Now, there are 100 million angels. At least. And if one of them could do this, may I tell you something? You have nothing to worry about. The Lord fights Israel's battles. And when the Lord gets on your side to fight your battles, you're going to win. So don't worry about it. Don't let this stuff bother you. Okay? Israel will not be destroyed. And these that are saying that they will defeat Israel and push them into the Mediterranean Sea do not know what they're talking about. They sound like Sennacherib boasting against God. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.